The mechanical finger completed its rotation, pointing straight up once more. At the same time, a metallic ringing could be heard from the tower below the time-measuring device. 12 times did the bell toll, reminding everyone that half the day had already passed. After the last beat, Venus averted her eyes from the bell tower. She would have to take a detour to arrive on time. Today, she could not afford to run into her students. No matter how much she adored them, there was just not enough time, as she was solely focused on making her report. With hasty footsteps, the slight woman hurried along an obscure path that led past the sprawling gardens of the Temple City. Cronus, the capital of Cerevan, was beautiful this time of year, with its blossoming gardens and flowers. To be fair, the flora was in full bloom all year round. Such was the benefit of living in the City of Time. However, Venus didn't have the time to marvel at the scenery today. She was on her way to the very center of the city, the High Temple. Out of the corner of her eyes, she saw a few students waiting at her usual route. They had doubtlessly hoped to meet her before today's classes. Ironically, their foresight and resultant presence was the very reason she didn't take that route. Fate really works in mysterious ways, Venus thought as she hurried down her alternate path. At the end of the walkway, she stopped abruptly, just before entering the crowded street. She was just in time to avoid a speeding carriage rushing by. Unfazed by the close brush with disaster, the woman continued on her way. She navigated the crowded streets with a grace that bordered the impossible. To the uninitiated, her apparent precognition and ghostly movements would have seemed bizarre. But here, in the City of Time, such scenes were all too common. Eventually, her steps slowed as she approached the building at the very center of the city. This was the heart of Cronus, the heart of Cerevan even, the Temple of Time. It was where the two regents resided. Venus swallowed dryly as she approached the main entrance of the gleaming white structure. Despite being one of the most renowned professors at the Fate Academy, she had only been here a couple of times in her life, and if she had the choice, she wouldn't want to come here ever again. As expected, the moment she got close, a shiver ran down her spine. Walking through the halls and chambers of the temple made her feel like she was nothing, like she was an insignificant grain of sand being swept along the rivers of time. It was an unsettling sensation, to say the least. Neither she nor anybody else had been able to pinpoint its source. From her discussions with fellow professors, she knew that she wasn't the only one affected. No other mage aside from their two leaders seemed to be able to bear this oppressive feeling for long. This was also the reason why all the servants working at the temple were common people, without a single mage in sight. All of them were diligently going about their work, and nobody questioned her presence in this most sacred of places. In fact, not a soul seemed to even spare her a second glance as she made her way through the gates. There were no guards, as was common in all of Cerevan. Such archaic measures of crime prevention had long since been made obsolete here. After all, time magic made it possible to find any culprit. Oftentimes, even before the crime was even committed. And who would ever commit a crime if they were sure to be caught? The only city that could even come close to the security of Cronus was Tradespire. They enjoyed the same benefits after all, at least for the more severe crimes. While musing over her experiences in the merchant city, Venus's feet unerringly carried her through one corridor after the other. Even though she was not very familiar with the layout of the temple, there was not the least bit of hesitation in her stride. It was like she was a puppet being pulled along by an invisible string. This was, in fact, not too far from the truth. Ever since entering the temple, she had let her intuition take over. She had no idea where she would end up, but there was not the slightest doubt in her mind that she would reach her desired location nonetheless. After a couple more turns and stairways, her faith was rewarded as Venus found herself in front of an ornate door on the highest floor. After only the slightest moment of hesitation, she approached the entrance. However, before her knuckles could make contact, a voice called out, "You can come in, Venus." Instantly, she felt silly for assuming that her arrival would surprise anybody. It was highly likely that they had gathered in preparation for her report. Venus pushed open the door and entered, curiously inspecting her new surroundings. This room was not the regal meeting space she had expected, but appeared more like a bedchamber. Not only that, but it was also decorated in an overtly childlike manner. Every surface was covered with plush cushions and frilly cloth. What stood out most, however, was the complete mismatch of colors. It was as if the decor had been picked out by a blind. With a start, Venus realized where she was. This had to be her room. "We are over here," a deep, masculine voice called. Venus recognized it instantly. There was not a single member of the Seers who would not. It was the voice of Horatio Neptune, the Eye of Cerevan. Venus approached the secluded lounge where the voice had come from, finally getting a good look at the man who had spoken. The Eye of Cerevan was a middle-aged man with a shining, bald head. He had wily eyes and a short moustache. He was looking directly at her, a warm smile on his face. It was a strange feeling to finally meet this renowned figure face to face. The closest she had ever been to this man was during one of his speeches and lectures, where she had been nothing more than a member of the crowd. Now she was only a couple of steps away. However, as she approached the lounge, her eyes fell upon a second figure. Opposite the eye sat a young girl. She couldn't have been older than 12, judging by her height. The girl had ashen hair and sightless white eyes. There was no doubt as to who this girl was. Venus immediately dropped to her knees, lowering her head. "This humble servant greets you, mighty ear." "Don't call me that," the girl chided in a slightly petulant voice. "I don't much like that title. I'd much rather you just called me by my name." Venus was taken aback. She had always pictured the Ear of Cerevan to be a lofty existence, wise beyond mortal understanding and infinitely knowledgeable about the trappings of the world. With all the rumors and fantastical tales making the rounds, she had expected some kind of mythical figure, but from what she could tell, this girl was just a girl. "As you wish, Lady Fortuna," Venus responded dutifully. No matter her personal feelings, the girl in front of her was still the strongest mage in all of Cerevan. The girl pouted. "I was talking about my name." "As you wish, Lady Nova," Venus said hesitantly. The girl's frown turned into a smile right away, and Venus relaxed. The eye cleared his throat, instantly attracting Venus's attention. "You came here to give your report, I assume?" "Yes, of course," Venus replied, getting back up. "I have done as instructed." The next half hour was spent retelling all that had happened during her trip to Tradespire. From how the Empire had rejected their prophecy, to the news of the new bounties posted on the heads of all members of the four great families. Neither of the two interrupted as she told her story, and even after she finished, they both remained silent for a while. From the eye's expression, it was clear that he was deep in thought. The ear, on the other hand, was tilting her head this way and that, as if trying to listen to a silent voice.
"Strange, truly strange," the girl muttered. "Even though Tradespire remains off-limit, I was still certain that the Empire would heed my warning. And what is with those bounties? Did my brother do something?"
"We can never be sure as to the motives of that man," the Eye remarked disdainfully. "He turned his back on his country, after all."
"He didn't turn his back on us," Nova interjected, her eyes narrowing.
"Fine, fine, you are right," the bald man said placatingly. To Venus, his actions appeared as if he was coaxing a small child. Was this what the relationship between their leaders was like?
This was very different from what she had expected. In her mind, the two had an equal position, with the eye being the face of the country, while the ear was the brains. "Anyway," the bald man said, "this is important news. Never before have our words been outright ignored. We will have to deliberate on how to react."
"What is there to think about?"
The young girl sighed, a hint of her true age shining through.
"I shared my foresight, and that concludes our duty. Our purpose isn't to guide unchosen paths, but to extend perspective. The choice will always remain theirs. We are seers, not dictators, Horatio."
"Be that as it may," the Eye replied, "we have to remain conscious of how this will appear. It is a blow to our credibility and reputation to be ignored. Our standing in the eyes of the other nations will take a hit."
"Whatever," the girl said dismissively. "That's just some politicians wagging their tongues. It's all they are good for anyway. The future itself will attest to our warning, and that's the only validation we will ever need."
"You can mock all you want, girl, but it's our standing and reputation that has kept our enemies at bay," the Eye countered.
"Nonsense," Nova replied. "We are not reliant on the mercy of others to keep us safe."
"Not for as long as the ancestor."
"Enough," the bald man interrupted, suddenly remembering that Venus was still present. "This is not the time nor the place for this discussion." Nova seemed like she had more to say on the matter, but she obliged. Then she turned to Venus, her face brightening.
"You did a good job, Venus. Thank you for your service." It was my honor, lady, Nova, Venus responded awkwardly. The girl nodded happily. Come here, I want to give you something.
Hesitantly, Venus approached. The closer she got, the more nervous she became. With every further step, she could feel the domain of an exarch swallowing her whole. It was an unsettling sensation. It felt like the mana around her no longer responded to her call. For the first time in centuries, Venus felt like she was completely cut off from all mana. Here, inside Nova's domain, she felt completely powerless. Still, she didn't dare refuse the order, and after a few more steps, she was in front of the girl. There seemed to be a crafty glint in the girl's usually murky eyes as Venus bent down in front of her.
Well done, Nova praised as she went to comb a strand of her pale white hair.
Was the girl talking about the mission, or was she referring to the way she had handled her presence? Venus couldn't tell, but she was glad for the praise either way. Before she could reply, Nova plucked a strand of hair from her head and handed it to Venus.
This is for you, she said. Have a craftsman make a band out of it and wear it.
Venus was confused, but still took the strand of hair as instructed. The girl must have seen the look in her eyes as she explained further.
It will keep you safe when you need it most.
Upon hearing those words, Venus clutched the present to her chest. She would follow those instructions precisely. Her very life might depend on it in the future.
Thank you, Lady Nova. I will not forget this kindness, Venus said, bowing her head deeply.
As she did, her eyes fell upon the piece of paper in front of the girl. On it, the words of the prophecy were written in neat handwriting. Idly, Venus wondered how a blind person could have such immaculate penmanship as she marveled at the perfect strokes. However, her blood froze a moment later. This was not the same prophecy she had delivered. Instead of two paragraphs, there were three. With wide open eyes, she read the lines one by one. From centuries of slumber, the elements four shall rise from the depths and claim their law, their power unrivaled, their fury unbound, consuming the radiance without a sound. The legions of plenty shall fall to their might, their screams of anguish drowned out in the fight. They all shall perish, their blood on the ground, a sacrifice in vain as chaos abounds. The rivers run scarlet, the forests aflame, all living things shiver, fear spells out their name. A disaster of blood, a tale of despair, his crimson legacy, forever to bear. Venus forced herself to calm down. However, her mind was racing with the implications of this discovery. Why had she not been told of this? It was highly likely that they would not have been brushed off by the Empire had she presented them with the full prophecy.
Something the matter? Nova asked.
No, my lady, Venus stammered. I was merely overcome with gratitude.
That is good, then, the girl said happily. Please remember my words.
Yes, Lady Nova, I will go visit a craftsman right now, Venus said as she backed up. After saying her proper goodbyes, Venus left the temple as if fleeing. She had most definitely learned something she shouldn't have. The only question was, how far did this go, and who was involved? End of book 3.